Oh, yeah. NBA Australia, episode 7, Tuesday, November 28th. How you going? It's NBA Australia. Welcome to NBA Australia for Tuesday, November 28th. This is NBA Australia, your daily podcast stop for all things NBA with a dash of Australia. And we're officially celebrating Shane Heal Day today. I'm James Clements, a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, The Brooklyn Game, and one half of the Durong Guys NBA podcast. And I'm here in New York City in Larry Armour Studios on the Upper West Side to take you through daily breakdowns of the hottest of NBA storylines. Who's doing what, how they're doing it, where they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. We're also going to be talking a bunch of stuff about what happened last night in the NBA, talk a bunch of smack about a bunch of other NBA junk, and covering off what the Australian NBA players are up to. There's a lot of them last night. So today we have some dumb segments like That's Not a Knife, That's a Knife, look at me, look at me, the unpopular opinion of the day. We have the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Memorial of the Week and the award-winning Yeah Nah segment, and a very special guest swinging by. It's Joe Toby Flenderson Ingles, HR manager. Plus, we'll wrap all 8 games from last night in the NBA and preview tonight. All right, let's go, NBA Australia! Oh, wow. It's good to be back. It's good to be like right in the guts of the NBA again. And it's time for the NBA Australia Whip Around. That's it. The daily Whip Around where we catch up on all things NBA. We're basically breaking down what happened last night, and there was 2 major things, and then we're going to talk about each of the games. So, first off, Blake Griffin, my preseason choice for MVP, got hurt. God damn it, Blake. Just stay healthy for like 2 months, just at a time. That's all I ask, just 2 months. Austin Rivers fell into his knee. Just another example of Austin Rivers being the worst fucking person in the world ever again. And then, of course, Doc, Steve Ballmer and co are saying they don't know how bad Griffin's knee is just yet. They're still running tests, but they all say he's pretty down about it, which obviously means it's likely to be something a little bit tough and brutal and more than likely fucking shithouse. God damn it, Blake. That sucks. And, well, we'll talk about the games first, so we'll get to the major news of yesterday. So the Nets played in Houston against the Rockets. Did think about this being the highest scoring game in NBA history, and the Rockets did have 54 points halfway through the second point, which was putting them on track for about 180. Didn't happen that badly because I think the Nets basically went into like a weird zone defense to try to slow the whole shenanigan down. Rockets end up winning 117-103. James Harden with a dirty stat line. It's a stat line, that one. 37 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and a giant beard. In Indiana, Magic, 109, Pacers, 121. This is the Victor Oladipo revenge game. But it was also the Lance Stephenson playing air guitar and dancing around like a fucking lunatic because, well, he's Lance Stephenson. Victor in his revenge game had 26, 6, and 5. Nice one, Victor. The Cavs played in Philly and beat Philly 113-91. LeBron, we're going to get to this later, and Joel both had massive games. Top 2 seeds in the East at the moment met in Boston. It's Detroit and Boston. Jesus. 118-108. Detroit. Hot damn. That's a massive win for Detroit, huh? Dirty Big Andre Drummond had 26, 22, and 6. We're going to talk about that stat line a little bit too. In New York, here in New York, the Portland Trailblazers came in and whomped the Knicks. Had this pretty much from the get-go. A stifling second quarter. A stifling second quarter, and then the fact that they scored 37 points in the third meant the Portland ran away with this no problems. The big matchup between Dame, who went for 32 points and 5 assists, and of course, everyone's favorite, Supercharged Zinger Burger, had 22, 7, and 1. On your Zinger. I guess that's pretty good. It's not that great. Mavs gave Spurs a run for their money, which was a bit of a surprise, actually leading at the half. Led by JJ Barea, of course, as we all expected. Thing is, LaMarcus Aldridge had another great game for the Spurs, 33 and 10, and the Spurs eked it out 115 to 108. And we can get to the surprisingly amazing one in just a second. The Clippers, the Battle of LA, the games that no one cared about, the rivalry, the least cool rivalry in all of US sports. Clippers 120, Lakers 115. Sweet Lou Williams with 42 points. And the notorious KCP for the Lakers, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 29 points, 6 rebounds. And then, of course, the big upset of the night. This was amazing. The Kings beat the Warriors because, as noted yesterday, there was no way the Warriors were going to play Steph and KD, and that's what happened. They did not play Steph and KD, and they lost to the Kings, 110-106. That is just, it was absolutely bonkers. Bogdan Bogdanovic, not to be confused with Bojan Bogdanovic, basically with the sealer over the top of Draymond, just hung in the air this perfect amount of time, kissed it in off the glass, and that was all she wrote for the Warriors. Unbelievable. The Warriors now 15-6. Slippage. I don't know, whatever. Crazy night though, fun night. And then just before all of that 8-game stretch of NBA goodness started, Woj dropped a giant Woj bomb. It was all, take that for data. David Fizdale was fired by the Memphis Grizzlies. Marc Gasol was unhappy, and I guess you got to keep the big fella happy, I suppose. And I get this idea, Gasol and Mike Conley, like the two best players Memphis has ever had, basically, apart from maybe Pau Gasol. And Gasol and Conley are going to be the best players Memphis have for probably another 5 to 8 years if they traded them both right now. So ownership is kind of like, right, fuck it, we're siding with yous, we're gotchas. And of course, LeBron and D-Wade had some questions about this. LeBron tweeted out, I need some answers, I feel like my guy was the fall guy. D-Wade just kept it simpler, he just needed answers. He literally said, I need answers, WTF. I mean, we all need answers, D-Wade. Specifically though, kind of weird. So the Grizz are still, I was going to say were, but they remain on a pretty hefty losing streak. And that's 8 in a row. They've lost, I think, something like 10 of their last 11. And pretty gross. But isn't the entire idea of having Fizdale come in, take over from the grit and grind idea and move them into a new thing and incorporate Gasol and Conley into this as best they can, but at least have this idea that Fizdale is meant to be an incredible player development coach. And he's the kind of guy that you just sort of let you back up to the hilt and go, all right, dude, it's your team. Mold them in the way that you think is going to be successful. You come from a great, great culture in Miami where they have done the exact same thing with Spoelstra. They stuck with him the entire time through the ups and downs of all the Wade and LeBron stuff. And now they just have like a very super solid team the entire time. And ownership are just like behind Spo the entire time. We can't really get through, what, 18 months with Fizz? It got that bad that quickly? This is not how you turn to the Spurs, yo. And the weird thing is, the Grizz have now done this to 3 straight coaches, right? So Fizdale, Dave Yeager, Lionel Hollins, all crazy amounts of success. Very little difference between each coach in their offensive rating and defensive rating either. Like, to a terrifying degree. Fizdale lasted 101 games, Yeager 246, Lionel Hollins 394. They've had a sustained run of success. They've gone to 1 Western Conference Finals. They've been incredibly, incredibly solid the entire time. And still, Fizz gets the can. That's fucking crazy. I don't know. I feel like you stick with the guy and just go, right, write it out. He's an amazing idea. Like, he's got, his ideas on the way basketball are played are obviously very modern. He's a very smart dude and a very engaging dude. Plus, I'm pretty sure he could take you out in probably the best places in every city in the NBA. That's the dude who you want as coach. Anyway, Memphis, you done fucked up. Should have kept Coach Fizz. I love him. And you know who would have loved Coach Fizz? The next guy, because he's our dude for today's NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
Nice. That's a knife.
Settle in. That's a knife for today is a good one. You see, in the mid-1990s, the NBA in Australia was booming. The boomers were booming too. Because over there in Australia, you see, we're in the middle of a talent boom. Andrew Gaze, Mark Bradkey had dipped their toes in the NBA water. What was it, Washington, Philadelphia? And at home, you had D-Mac, Andrew Vlahov, Dave, dad of Ben Simmons, Chris Anstey, slamming Sam McKinnon, Leonard Copeland, John Reilly, Brett Maher, Scott Fisher, Robert Rose, leaping Leroy Loggins. They were out there smashing. NBA action was on telly Saturdays. NBA was ace. Now, interest in Australia was peaking. Interest in basketball in Australia was peaking. Over went a little Australian to the NBA. He had bleached blonde hair, looking like a basketball-playing Warwick Kappa, and being the epitome of what people in Australia grew up knowing as that handsome little prick who gets all the chicks. Thing is, this little good-looking bloke went toe-to-toe with Charles fucking Barkley in 1996 in a World Cup warm-up and was suddenly signing with the Minnesota Timberwolves roster heading into the 1996-97 NBA season. Of course, Australia's pride and joy ended up riding the pine. He never topped more than 18 minutes in a game. But 21 years ago today, Shane Heal put up 15 points in a quarter against my beloved Seattle Supersonics and set a Minnesota Timberwolves team record in the process by going 5 of 9 from 3 in one quarter as the Wolves tried to rally back. I mean, they still lost, but it gave us moments from the Timberwolves announcer saying, "Oh, Shane! Oh, Shane!" and "Are you healed? Are you healed?" And between Shane Heal and Shane Warne, Australia somehow had two national icons, both named Shane. And not to forget Shane and Angel from Home and Away. And this is all something that could not be more Australian. So, Shane Heal, November 27, 1996, 21 years ago today, you put up a performance for the ages, 15 points in a quarter. And for today, that's enough to get you the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. It is.
That's a knife.
That was a knife, I will tell you. Good job, Shane Heal. That was amazing. Watching the highlights from that, he's just out there launching, no problem. Anyway, old mate, no mates today. It's our regular recurring segment, old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? Give me Memphis GM, Chris Wallace. Like, who do you think swings a bigger dick in the NBA right now? LeBron, Wade, everybody who's ever played for Coach Fizdale, or fucking old chunky Chris Wallace over there? He's got no mates. Do you think LeBron, Wade, everybody who ever went through Miami are really psyched that their guy got shit canned for no reason beyond like a big Spanish dude kind of not enjoying the way he was being coached? Get the fuck. I'm not going to put the failings of Chris Wallace on Fizdale here as well. Like, that's the idea behind Fiz being fired. It's Chris Wallace going, "Oh shit, how do I save my job again?" Because remember, Chris Wallace is the dude, not David Fizdale, who drafted Jordan Adams, Xavier Henry, Tony Roten, Jarrell Martin, and Wade Baldwin, all of whom were Chris Wallace draft picks, and all of whom, except Jarrell Martin, are right now out of the NBA. Chris Wallace, Memphis GM, today you are old mate, no mates, because you were shit. Oh man, that was a good one. I like that a lot. All right, it's time for everybody's favorite hashtag better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, "I made it to the pros, now I can be average." They're coming for everybody.
They're coming for everybody. Just imagine if he was average. It'd be basically a lot easier for Lonzo, wouldn't it? But unfortunately, Lonzo isn't average. Not league average, at least. I don't know how to tell you this, but last night Lonzo was not good in the LA Clippers, LA Lakers battle of staples. Lonzo had 3 points on 1 of 7 shooting, 1 of 6, which was from behind the old 3-point mark there. Had 7 assists and 5 rebounds, 3 turnovers as well. Jeez, it's a minus 12 on the game. So, who is today's better than Lonzo Ball? Who was better than Lonzo Ball last night? You might ask. In fact, you are, at least I am for you. It was your boy, Dennis Smith Jr. Yes! 19-5-1 went the rookie, drafted 7 spots after Lonzo Ball. He had 19-5-1 against the Spurs. He went 9 of 17 and looked like a general fucking menace every time he had a ball. It was amazing. I love Dennis Smith Jr. I love watching the kid. That dude was just out there smashing. So how about Lonzo's stats for the year? 8.7 points a game, 7.1 assists, 7.3 rebounds. With a 10.04 PER. So what is it you say, LeVar, that he's not going to go and be average? No, 10 is well under the PER average for NBA players. So I'm sorry, pal. I'm sorry. Dennis Smith Jr., meanwhile, is averaging 14.6 points, 4.4 assists, and 3.9 rebounds. 11.52 PER. That's pretty good. On you, Dennis. Today, you are our hashtag. Better than Lonzo Ball. All right, coming up next, we've got Yenna. Ah, here it is. You ready? Yenna. It's Yenna. 3 Yennas, where we take 3 NBA storylines and get a Yenna. We figure out if it's more yeah or more nah. First up, Coach Fizz. He's out of a job. Should he dance on over to Cleveland and get Ty Lue sweating? You know, just hook up with Cleveland, become a bit of an assistant coach over there? Yeah, nah, yeah. Get back on it, Fizz. Let's get another ring, mate. So, as people have pointed out on Twitter, Fizz might just want to chill with the $3 million he's owed for next year as well on top of his remaining salary for this year and his damn fine-looking lady wife and throw down some hangs. Just get into that Miami life. On you, Fizz. Still, it would be amazing if he was like, hey, LeBron, D-Wade, you want to put in a word over there at the Cleveland organization for me? I'm more than happy just to swing by and be Ty Lue's assistant and just to watch Ty Lue sweat fucking blood for the rest of the season would be amazing. Second one, it's also related to one of our top stories. If Blake seriously hurt, blow up the Clippers. Yeah, nah. Yeah, of course. Fuck, done. Get it done. Tank this year while you've still got your first round pick and your odds for doing something like that are actually like good and handy and worthwhile. Because currently, Clippers are 8-11, but put your mind to tanking here, you could quite easily slip down the Western standings without too much of a hassle because nipping at your heels, you have the Lakers, Grizzlies, Suns, and Sacramento only basically a game and a half back from you at best, and the Mavs are trying their hardest to win games. So, shit, Clips, do it. Do it this year. Do it. Come on. What are you doing? What are you... Just... Doc, fucking chill out. Go play some more golf. Let the let Jerry West and his homies just sort this out. Come on. Not hard. Final. Yeah, no. Well, actually, we've got a bonus here now, so we'll do 2 more. Denver really fucked up by trading Donovan Mitchell for Trey Lyles. Yeah, nah. Yeah, of course. Just imagine if fucking Denver had kept that pick. They'd have Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, and Donovan Mitchell. Instead, they have 8 power forwards and no fucking point guards. And also Richard Jefferson? What the fuck are you doing, Denver, you morons? Bonus, yeah, nah. Put Shane Heal from 21 years ago in today's NBA, and he's a viable NBA player. Yeah, nah. Yeah, fucking why not? Come on, if Jimmy Fredette can play a couple of years, and so could Shane, the dude could fucking shoot hard as nails. Good on you, Shane. That's pretty good. I love it. That was a good yeah, nah. I like the idea of Shane Heal playing right now. He'd be a fucking superstar. If only for, a simple idea of like, I don't know, who's that loudmouth Australian guy going apeshit and trying to fight everybody? All right, time for our unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I still don't trust the Pistons. I don't know. Look, they're going to Boston. They win. They're 13-6. They're out there smashing. Their defense is all right. Their offense is all right. They just feel like a little bit middle of the pack. Their points per game is like literally middle of the pack. Their defensive points per game is like the third best in the East, but it's basically the same as like Toronto and Miami. So I don't know. It's a bit weird. It's a bit hard to just really, really just jump on board this this Detroit Pistons paint. Even though I don't mind the idea of, you know, actual ideals of Detroit basketball. I still got a lot of time, but today I still don't trust it. I just feel like Andre Drummond's going to fall off a cliff, like shooting free throws, and then I go back to being the same old, same old. And Tobias Harris, even though he's 25, can he keep it up? I don't know. It's just hard. Pretty tough. I don't know. Anyway, that's the unpopular opinion today. Look at me, look at me. That means we get to move into one of our favorite ones for Tuesday. The Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Memorial for Great Moments in Random Dudes Going Off of the Week. There was Shane Heal going off for 15 points in a quarter 21 years ago. Who else adds to our memorial wall of great moments and random dudes going off for this week? Well, this one goes to Mo Williams. Mo Williams, the one-time LeBron teammate All-Star. That's like an official designation. Like, you played with LeBron and you were an All-Star. Did you ever make an All-Star game when you weren't playing with LeBron? No, you're a LeBron teammate All-Star. Mo also was the scorer of the most random 52 points in an NBA game in the last 5 years. He put up 52 while playing for Minnesota in a game against Indy on January 13, only 18 months ago. That's right, Mo Williams is still out there getting 52 18 months ago. That's fucking unreal. Of course, he then did go and like shaft Cleveland by getting to Cleveland last year and retiring and thus taking up a very much needed roster spot for the rest of their year. On you, Mo. Way to fuck him. Mo went 19-33. From the field, and then 6 of 11 from 3, and still had 7 assists in this game. On you, Mo. Today, you're our Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Memorial for Great Moments and Random Dudes Going Off of the Week. All right, coming up next, it's Australian Player Watch, the whip around for Australian players. Yeah, NBA Australia. How do you reckon? Australian Player Watch. That's what you want. That's what we got. Ben Simmons, son of Dave. Mentioned him earlier. They went up against LeBron and the Cavs. Look, it was fun for the first half. The Cavs then just went, oh, wait, we're really good. Shit. And LeBron and the Cavs, they basically had set themselves, everybody else up for a bit of a disappointment because they were on an 8-game winning streak. Thing is, well, they're on a 7-game winning streak. Now it's 8. Ben Simmons didn't have the greatest game. Had 10 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals on 5 of 11 shooting. His counterpart. That's right. Our Lord and Savior, Ben Simmons' counterpart, the King, LeBron. He had 13 rebounds, 6 assists, and 30 points. Just out there running old Miami players with D-Wade the entire time. Joel Embiid showed up, but he was the only one to show up in that Philly game. He had 30-11. So there you go. Ben Simmons, not great. Patty Mills played the Mavs, had 12-5-2 on 10 shots. Bit sketchy, 2 of 7 from 3. Looked to get cooked by Barea at times, but also had a great moment where he tried to knee Dirk in the agates from behind. On you, Patty. Joe Ingles, he plays in Denver tonight. Delly hasn't played since the 15th. And he and Thon McCur, thong, they both play Sacramento this evening. Maybe Thon will make his first three since November 7. Aaron Baines played the Pistons. Killed by Andre Drummond last night. Had 6-6, didn't miss a shot, did Baines. Had one more assist. That means 20 for the season for Baines. I'm just going to keep an Aaron Baines hashtag assist watch going. But still, Baines, his entire job, and being a former Detroit Piston, he should know how to contain Andre Drummond better than anybody. Drummond, meanwhile, just went, nah, fuck ya. Had 26 points, 22 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. God damn. That is just like horrifyingly brutal on behalf of the Boston defense, one of the best in the, or the best in the league. That's just all you can really do. How about the big fella, Andy Buckets Bogut? He ended up with almost a 7 trillion. He played 7 minutes and did literally sweet fuck all, did Bogut. No points, no rebounds. The one thing that stops him from being a complete trillion is his one assist. God damn it. That is... You killed me, Bogut. We could have had like the perfect 7 minutes of you doing absolutely fucking nothing on a basketball court. You're 7 foot, you played 7 minutes, you get no rebounds? What the fuck y'all doing? All right, how about a daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Oh yeah, he still is. And the final part, the Australian player watch. Ah man, how did Kyrie do last night? Honorary Australian Kyrie Irving had a tough one. 18 points on 16 shots, 1-6 from three. A couple of very ill-advised moments where he's like, all right, I'm going to try to take over this game. Nah, didn't work out. Had 9 assists, but still. It was Boston sort of relying on the Marcus Smart show over there, where Marcus Smart went 6 of 9 from 3 and had 23 points at 8 of 13 shooting, which was amazing. But still, no good. Sorry, Kyrie, you weren't that great today, but you're still pretty good. Can't complain too much. It's also Tuesday. That means we have the NBA Australia. Who else was on that random Shane Heal Timberwolves team from 21 years ago? Where last week we had the immortal Stoko Vrankovic. Stoko! So how about Cherokee Parks? That's right. Cherokee Parks was on this Minnesota Timberwolves team from 21 years ago. He was the 12th pick of the 95 NBA draft behind the immortal Joe Smith. Oh, geez. But the much more immortal Kevin Garnett, Rasheed Wallace, and Jerry Stackhouse. Thing is, weird draft. The only people drafted after Cherokee Parks at 12 to be any good were like Michael Finley, Theo Ratliff, Brent Barry, and Greg Ostertag. Not exactly a murderer's row, though. Finley was fucking unreal, but Jesus. And a weird one. Fab Fiver Jimmy King went pick 35 to Toronto. Odd. Anyway, this is Cherokee's best year as a pro, playing alongside KG and Stephen Marbury. And it's not much of a surprise he could average 7 points and 5.5 rebounds per game. The terrifying thing is that that's where he topped out. Yeesh. For his career, he had 4.4 points, 3.6 rebounds. That is fucking brutal. Thing is, dude still played 10 years. Remember you could be shit and play in the NBA for 10 years? End up playing for the Mavs, Wolves, Grizz, Wiz, Clips, Spurs, Clips again, and then washed out after a stint with the Warriors. Jesus. That's unbelievable. On your Cherokee Parks, big goofy white guy. Ended up opening a punk rock bar in Huntington Beach, California. That then, I believe, closed down. Brutal. Anyway, Who else was on that random Shane Heal Timberwolves team from 20 years ago for today? And it's a good one. All right, coming up next, we're going to finish this off with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board and our game previews for Tuesday. And then we're going to tap out with Joe Ingles, HR manager. Stick around. It's all happening right now still. Onyez. All right. What has Patty Mills got to say today? Patty was pretty happy, you see, yesterday. It was bringing back... The Spurs brought back his French mentor. I mean, I had a French mentor. His name was Birdo. All he taught me was how to basically try to be vaguely Gallic and cool. Anyway, Patty Mills tweeted out, "Great to have my PG bowler back tonight. Prayer hands at Tony Parker." And a very lovely photo of Patty Mills giving Tony Parker a big old hug from behind, with Tony Parker looking along pretty sketchily. But anyway, good on you, Patty. Love it. Game previews. Game reviews. We're going to whip around each game on the slate for NBA tonight, Tuesday, November 28. Let's talk Miami at Cleveland. It's the Coach Fizz Bowl. Maybe Fizz can swing by and have the two bid on his services for the rest of the year. That'd be fun. D-Wade and Bron can swap stories with Spo and Juwan Howard on the bench. This would be a nice one. And fuck me, Udonis Haslem is still on this goddamn Miami roster. That's awesome. Anyway, so it's a two-peat reunion party. Just remember when Miami Heat were going to, like, dominate this decade? Yeah, life comes at you fast. Miami at Cleveland. Give me Cleveland in this one. Next up, Phoenix at Chicago. Yeah, no one watched this. Ugh, gross. Phoenix? Yeah, they'll probably win this. Ooh, actually, maybe Devin Booker can... this could be a legit Devin Booker goes for 70 game too. So maybe you pay attention. Keep an eye on the scores. Washington at Mini. No John Wall for a couple of weeks. Puts a dampener on this. Wall's out like with a... I think it was like a knee sprain. Wasn't too bad, but... Gotta have a bit of a sit. Still time for Beal to shine. Have a go at Jimmy Butler. And big KAT is always fucking unreal. Give me Minnesota in this one. Milwaukee at Centrum. I can actually say Sacramento sometimes. Milwaukee at Sacramento. Oosh. Milwaukee need this one, yo. Really could use this. But I don't know. Well, they're going to win it because Sacramento are coming off a back-to-back. And a massive win over the Warriors, so watch them blow this one against Milwaukee. Bledsoe versus De'Aaron Fox. I'm on board. Milwaukee win it. And then finally, Denver at Utah. It's the Donovan Mitchell revenge game. We brought it up earlier. How the fuck did Donovan Mitchell end up in Utah and not in Denver when they clearly needed a Donovan Mitchell, you morons? Give me Utah and Donovan Mitchell going for 30 in this one. And that's a good one. And you know what? That's it. For today, that's NBA Australia. We've done it. We did the damn thing. It's Tuesday, November 28th. It's been NBA Australia. We'll be back tomorrow for a bunch more ridiculousness. You know we will be. It's daily. In the meantime, follow us up on Twitter at NBA Australia. We'll have dumb stuff throughout the night like we always do. Fun little bits and bobs from around the NBA. Check us out on Facebook and give us a like, would you? Give us one of those little thumbs up. We have other things that pop up during the day for there as well. And don't forget to subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes and Google Play. Check us a nice 5-star rating or review while you're at it, would you? Come on. That way, people might see this pop up. You know, that'd be kind of good. That'd be a bit of a ripper-reader. I love it. That'd be very, very fun. Come on, help us out. Anyway, NBA Australia, lots of fun games tonight. We'll be back first thing tomorrow to wrap them up and then talk about what's going on Wednesday night and any other NBA things that take our fancy. And that's it. Stick around for Joe Ingles, HR manager, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Later.
Hi, it's Joe Ingles here, and I'm just swinging by to answer any questions anyone may have as NBA Australia's resident HR expert. See, I went to uni, and, well, that's college for you Americans, don't forget that, and majored in human resources. So, I guess I'm the most qualified here to help out with any questions you might have about pretty much any topic, because, after all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. Okay, let's get to today's question. All right, this question comes from David in Memphis. Dear Joe. Oh, how nice. That's very formal. So these motherfuckers... Okay. Settle down with the language there, David. Have decided to fire my... can we do this without the swearing? No? Read it as is. All right. Okay, well, you're the boss over there, and I will always respect organizational structure. Have decided to fire my ass like a bunch of dead shits. Oh, jeez, David. Assholes. God damn it. Come on, mate. Saying I hadn't connected with some of my workmates and fellow employees. Ah, tricky. Continues. So I was wondering, what should I do? Should I go back to the office and burn it down? No. Well, look, David, I wouldn't advise that for obvious reasons. He says, he keeps going here. Or should I leak a bunch of incriminating stuff about one of my old subordinates? He was a fat Spanish prick who didn't try hard at his job, which really shits me. All right, David, Jesus, settle down, mate. You don't have to go this hard. There was always this bald nerd hanging around talking about data and stats like a giant fucking dork. I hated him too. Anyway, what should I do? Thanks, and take that for a question. Regards, David. Jeez, it's a bit weird, isn't it? Take that for a question? I don't know. Righto, let's get stuck in. It's a tricky one, isn't it? David from Memphis. Look, you're clearly well past any compromises or resolutions that have been made about your role if indeed your company has decided to terminate your employment. I would definitely advise against any criminal activity or saying bad things about your now former employer. See, management and HR can't be underestimated. In any workforce, they can be the difference between you succeeding or failing in any job search that you now put yourself forward for. I would be updating my resume and LinkedIn and making sure that my nominal KPIs in my previous role had been met and that I have a stellar performance review and reference from them stating that declaratively. Have you thought about getting in touch with former workmates to see if they could use your skills? Perhaps step back into a role with less seniority, but enough to put you in a position to move up again when the opportunity arrives. Either way, you've got to put yourself in a position to succeed. That means thinking positively and making the most of your human resources. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the Joe Ingles HR Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.